didn't pay any attention to Washington all year long, so I don't even know how they, what kind of shape they were in when they finished. But they made short work of the Cardinals.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow. Everything's working.
Hey.
Colorado Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Big city nowadays.
Yes, it is.
Better check the audio.
Boo.
Check.
But you remember last time, or no, you probably don't know, my audio was going nuts last time. I think I had two microphones talking to each other. Created a feedback loop. I actually had to, I had done a recording for the podcast, and I was able to use that recording to superimpose it on the YouTube video and re-upload it.
When you set your ringtone to whatever you think you want, how do you make it ring so that you know that that's what you want?
It should test it.
Is there?
I mean, when you click on that, it
should give you that sound.
It tells you that sound. I mean, it plays that sound. It doesn't tell it to you.
Yeah, it should. Or most of the operating systems I've seen for the phones, when you're selecting it, at the moment you're selecting it, it's giving you a test of it. Yeah. I mean, I can't, knowing the variety of Android devices and phones out there, I can't say a blanket statement that's the way it works, but in my experience, they've all worked like that.
There's a list two arm lengths long that have names on them that don't relate at all to, you know, what you're hearing, like joy, like, I don't know, just a bunch of dumb names.
All right, guys.
How many?
I'm starting.
How many of you use paid email?
Paid email?
Paid.
Why would you?
Privacy.
Not I.
Privacy?
Yeah, privacy, reliability.
And less junk.
Junk.
Maybe.
Those are. I mean, like, if you're a corporation, you would pay for email.
Yeah.
For,
well, of course. Yeah. But he's not. He's talking about us as people.
Yeah. The first time I ever went online, the email was connected to the server that I was getting the service from.
Exactly.
But sooner or later, Hotmail was available, and that seemed more practical since it didn't matter where you were. You could access it from anywhere.
Well, I'm using Hotmail, and I've been away from my computer for now 3 days, and I'll bet you I have 1,500 that I got to go through.
Oh, you need to put some.
Yeah, you need to start.
You need to put some bars on some.
I keep asking them. And
make some more coffee.
No, I can leave mine for a week, and there might be one or two junk mails in there. But I don't know what I've done to stop them, but I don't seem to be getting much out lately.
I don't even pay attention to my junk mail. I just like Google or Hotmail deal with it. Good. Audio's working. Huh? Video's working.
No.
We're up.
What'd
you
say? 4 minutes past our go time.
No, it's not. It's 1 minute past go time.
It says the internet connection appears to be offline.
Well, that's not my problem.
It is. Because I was online.
Oh, well, you may have to try again.
No, I bought the off.
I was just
on.
I'm getting a little weaker signal.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Stream is registering as bad and then going up to good and then going back down to bad.
I'm good right now.
Yeah,
well, it's just not.
It's just not great. It's just not awesome.
You ever reboot their modem?
Already did that.
Oh, did you do
that?
Yeah,
I just did that.
Where does that come from?
What's that?
Movie Star.
Movie Star. That's the network that you're on with your phone.
When I'm down here.
Yeah.
Because it's Verizon, so they must have had some.
Yeah, they must have a contract with Movistar.
And sometimes AT&T clicks on for that one, too.
Yeah, you'd think it would. Yeah.
I was getting Telcel in previous years.
Mine varies with Verizon, Movistar, Telcel. Yeah.
Game one,
whatever's
Houston.
Strong.
All right. Let me introduce us. This is Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions here with the San Carlos Computer Club meeting once again on Tuesday. We're starting just a minute late. All the streams look like they're working, but we also don't have a great internet connection, so Hopefully this is not cutting out for you throughout our meeting, but welcome. Welcome one and all to the San Carlos Computer Club. We've got at least one extra member today. Each week we've had a little bit more people showing up each time. The meeting continues to get bigger as people are showing up.
Six today.
These snowbirds, yeah.
Yeah, you're the new person.
I heard my phone go off. What I did wrong last week is people were warning me that the audio was horrible, and I wasn't paying any attention to them. In fact, I was cursing my phone for beeping at me. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to do the computer club. When I should have been paying at least a nominal amount of attention to it, going, oh, that's broken, huh? Nobody's hearing it, huh? I think it's working today.
So there are people that are listening. There are people out there.
That fan?
Yeah.
It's probably pulled down. What's that?
There are people out there listening.
Yes,
yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah. I brought a guy from Tucson, and he listens on a regular basis.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's been interesting? At the beginning of this season, we've had a smaller attendance group, but I've noticed a higher number of people that have been listening in. And I wonder if all of a sudden our group is diminishing down to people that'd rather stay at home and listen to us.
No, they aren't.
Do you have a listing of the people who are online?
No, I can't really see that. I can, if I take the time, I can
look.
It
doesn't say how many? Or
no, like at this moment, it doesn't look like there's anybody on. So.
Yeah, but the IQ level around this table is really high.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that.
How does that determination come about?
I'm not going to argue with that.
You're not loaning me any money.
Flattery will get you some things. Well, anyway, like all our other meetings, we're pretty disorganized. We have no real agenda. We're here to talk about tech topics. And I have brought a few of my own, but again, I'd be interested in hearing what you guys have or any questions you need to have answered before we move on to more esoteric bits of tech news.
Well, I have one that I heard about last night, and that is that Mega Cable is now in competition, very much so, with Telmex.
Well, yeah, they have been since they've come into the market. Well,
that long time ago?
Yeah, you know, a number of years.
Really?
Yeah.
They were investigating how to, if they could set their system up in Tekeli. And there was a few meetings about it, but I don't know how that turned out. No, but I'm still working on Minpanina, and I haven't heard anything about Mega Cable in there.
Well, but you had Mega Cable for a while, didn't you?
I did. I had it for about 2, maybe 3 years. And
in the traditional Tekeli fashion, because you're off the main road, you're on the side of the park, you're able to do that, right? But what you're talking about is an infrastructure upgrade throughout the park that would allow it.
How did that work?
Well, they were looking at setting up poles and a whole bit. There's a system in there that used to run the television, and the poles were there and for the cable that supplied TV to everybody. The poles are still there. But they took the wires down a long time ago, so it probably wouldn't be that difficult to rewire the system that used to be there.
Well, the guy that I was talking to last night said that he has telephone and he has internet, and through the internet, then he's got TV.
Yep.
And so it's totally replaced Telmex. It's competition with Telmex.
Well, I had it for a while, and for a while it worked. Well, I got about 20 megs most of the time, but when it went down, I couldn't talk to anybody. I don't speak any Spanish, and there was nobody to talk to that would.
You know, that's what I noticed from your experience the most was that.
Yeah, you went down with me to set it all up because I couldn't communicate with it.
Well, and their customer service has just gotten horrible. When they first came into the market, they had great customer service. They had people to help. They'd come out and install real quick, and throughout the years, it's as they've competed with Telmex, their customer service has gotten lousy. Telmex is always like a roller coaster ride throughout the seasons, but we've watched a steady decline in customer service with Mega Cable, and they for some reason refuse to put an English speaker in their office. If this has changed recently, correct me, please.
Well, so Telmex is the same way.
Well, that's not true. Yeah, basic English is available.
There's usually
Telmex
someone
office.
In there that can speak some degree of English.
I've never walked into the Telmex office and watched them throw their hands up and say they can't help you because you're not speaking.
No, that's the United States.
I saw it yesterday.
In Telmex?
In Telmex, yeah. She didn't throw her hands up.
Yeah.
But she refused to help this guy. And she was very nice, Kirsten.
Really?
Kirsten. And she was very nice, but this guy over there where Maggie lives, and he was in there to get his system working. And she said that, and he said, hey, I called last week, and they said it'd be in, and it wasn't in, and he was coming back. He was very nice about it, but he got out his little translator and held it up to her, and she said,
That's interesting. I've not had that experience. Now I've had, I know of people that have gotten no satisfaction at the office. I am very familiar with those people, and I don't discount them saying anything to not give them service, including I don't understand what you're saying.
That's exactly that was the big thing that she just kept saying over and over. I don't understand. And he didn't understand, and she didn't understand. So who do you have?
Telmex.
You have Telmex? Mm-hmm.
Telmex.
But I don't deal with the office here.
You know,
if I have a problem, I just call the number on your bill, or there's a star or whatever number.
Yeah.
Ask for English.
And
I'm connected to Mexico City. The guy takes care of it, turns in the report. If they can't fix it, and slam down, you're done. He can also tweak your line from down there to give you higher speeds.
Yeah, as long as your infrastructure has no problems, then they can do stuff like
and
that.
And he can spot where, when they run the line test from down there, he can spot where the problems are within an area anyway.
That's good to know.
So you told me it was fine all the way to the last time. It was fine all the way up to the San Carlos Telmex. It was between them and the house. So he turned in the report, the tech came out, and they found a bad line. And
had to run a whole line down to the main box. From the box outside of Loma Del Mar, they ran a new line all the way down to the Telmex office.
Is it true that the closer you are to the Telmex office, the better the service is?
I'm sure.
As you extend the line out past that. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, it has the...
As far as where you can get, and I've got 30 megs down.
That's what I'm wondering about, because are you paying extra for that or what?
No. Huh? I pay, $500 a month or whatever for the speed. And actually, I can lower it to 4-something if I wanted to.
Why would you do that?
Save
because
money?
Because actually, I'm paying extra money. But the last time I tried to lower it, I did it through the office, and they cut my speed down even though I was paying the right price. So I screw it. It's only 20 pesos, 30 pesos more a month. I don't care. Leave my internet alone. Right.
Well, I had to really let mine run all summer, paid for, in order to have it when I got back.
That's what I do. Yeah. It's not worth turning
just
it off.
Yeah, a monthly bill.
Yeah. Did it come back and it was off?
No.
It was off?
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting this has become a problem again. Because it wasn't a problem for a long time, but
it's
you're
not
right.
It's a problem. It's just how it is.
It's just how it is.
Yeah. I'm paying for my phone all the way through, not the internet, but the phone. And they turned it off. Last year they turned it off. This year they turned it off.
Your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I leave it all on.
Did you pay in advance, or did you pay?
We left it on too.
Yeah. No.
We're paying.
Bob, did you pay in advance a ton of money, or did you pay by the month?
It's an automatic withdrawal.
Oh. Because I had somebody here pay the bill, my bill in and pay it over the counter each month, as opposed to leaving them $3,000 or $4,000.
But the water bill, if you pay, then they turn off your water.
Well, I don't have that problem because we're a community water thing in Tecla.
Okay, so you don't have that problem, but...
No, as long as the park is paying for the water.
Do you understand what I'm saying? When you pay the bill, then they turn off your water.
Why would they do that?
They became aware of you. There is some truth to the way that works around here.
Are we in Mexico
sometimes,
or something?
Yeah, sometimes when you pop your head up, somebody's standing there bopping you down.
And you know you can pay with a credit card online your Telmex bill.
Oh, you know you should be able to.
Well, you still can.
Huh?
You still can.
Yeah.
I was just saying, rather than having somebody take it, you just have to pay at least $100 when you make a payment to avoid their service charge. Mm-hmm. Works great.
$100?
Uh-huh. Wait, say that again?
So they have Mi Telmex that you pay your Telmex bill from the States in dollars with a credit card. They charge a service charge unless you pay $100 at a pop.
So you're paying
Paying like 3 months in advance, yeah. Something like that?
Well, I could pay every month, but I don't want to pay their service fee.
Yeah, I don't believe I pay service fee.
What would the service fee be?
I don't know, but I don't want to pay anything. So okay. I might as well pay $100 and not worry about it.
Okay.
Well, mine is just automatic every month.
Yeah.
But you don't have a phone.
Right now I don't. They say for sure by noon.
That's like my bank charges me for. Yeah, right. They give me $4 a month for some kind of credit, and they take about $14 a month just as a regular
service fee.
Yeah.
That's to make that $10 not hurt as much.
Well, they turned mine off when we left in April, and it hasn't been on since April. So they're actually. But I'm still paying every month. So I get, if you complain, you get 1 month free. They'll go back 1 month. And that's all they'll do.
But if they do cut it off, you'll likely not get your phone number back.
That's the reason that I don't want to change the phone number. Yeah.
I was going to. 2 years ago, I went into the office and said, I want to cancel it all. I want to cancel the internet. I want to cancel it to the. Landline and the whole bit, and she started yakking at me. Well, you can do this and you can do that, and we'll do this. And before I knew it, I was signed up for. I dropped the monthly cost from 600 pesos to 381 pesos.
So that's what matters.
And that's what I pay every month now for 10, supposedly 10 megabytes. I don't get 10, but that's what I'm paying for.
But you can bump it up to 30 if you go to Mexico City.
Well, if your infrastructure and the equipment allows you to technically do that.
I actually changed streets.
Yeah, that's a snag.
I was on F.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you've ever gotten more than 10, so why pay for more than 10?
I don't think I have. Every time I look at it, it's 5 to 6.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Got it up to 3 meg.
Once in a while, it's less than 1.
And I couldn't break the 3 meg thing. So I moved it. I called them up and said, I want to come off G.
Pull the line off of G, huh?
He goes, you can't do that. Your house isn't on G. I says, but the house is on G. My driveway's on F. So they moved it. And so I went from 3 megs to 30 megs.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
That
depends on your street. Mm-hmm. How are you doing on I?
On I get up to 10. I get 8 to 10.
So that doesn't mean it good to go to I.
I've tried bumping it up before, did nothing. I still got 8 to 10 and just paid more for it. Uh-huh. So I bumped it back down. There's no reason. One of these days they'll sort that out.
Well, you got to get a line off the fiber optic.
Right.
It took me 3 months to get. We put in the pole. We said I had to put a pole on my property to support the line because it's a long drop. And I did. He put the line in, and it took 3 months to get a good number out of Hermosillo on the fiber optic that didn't break up.
Oh, really? To talk to them.
I just speculating with experience in this field, I would imagine what that means is they only had so many fiber optic routers that were working correctly.
Probably.
That there's some failure in their routing that was happening to everyone that was being introduced as a new service. Like they had maxed out even though they hadn't maxed out.
Yeah.
Oh, where Russ Penny is, whole little subdivision is fiber optic, he says, and they never had a problem.
That's great. They used to have problems all the time. Yeah.
I have a question about Mega Cable. If there are many people on Mega Cable, does that reduce the service that you get?
Technically, it does.
Technically.
Yeah. The way cable internet infrastructure works, the more of your neighbors using internet at the same time, the lower your potential.
Is that true on fiber optic too?
That's a tough thing to answer because there is a max capacity of fiber optics, so there is a point at which you would end up waiting, your traffic would be waiting, but it is such a high number that you would never experience that. It would be like, we want to add 1,000 more users to this fiber, and they would have to upgrade the equipment so that they could put that much traffic without affecting anybody's experience. And what happens is that all this technology regularly doubles in capacity. And so this is what, like when you're in a place like the Bahia where they have fiber optic lines and one of your neighbors can't get it, what that really represents is Telmex not going ahead and doing preventative maintenance by upgrading their equipment regularly. Because if they would just go out and buy the new piece of equipment, it would without a doubt handle twice the capacity the old equipment did and be able to run across the exact same line. But they won't even do that and pass the expense on to us. They just won't do it. They'll say, no, it's not available.
Now, 5G, which is satellite, I didn't even know that, but it's satellite.
Well, 5G isn't satellite.
What?
But go on. It's not satellite.
It isn't?
It's wireless. But in fact, it's the closest wireless cell that's ever been offered.
Okay, so then they have to tap towers for the cells, right?
Yeah, I mean, a good way to think about it, I think, is that with 5G, well, with 4G, you have an antenna out there on the horizon, and you have line of sight with it, and the amount of speed that you can get out of it is directly proportional to how close you are to it and how much traffic is being used on that one cell. 5G is supposed to give you 10 to 100 times faster connections, but to achieve that, they use a frequency that is so high that the only way to take advantage of it is to bring the antennas closer. And so, whereas you'd have that antenna out on the horizon for 4G, 5G, your antenna might be hanging off the side of the building, like 1,000 meters away or 500 meters away from you. So whereas you might have one antenna for an entire skyscraper for 4G, you may have 5G antennas on every floor of that skyscraper.
Really?
Yeah. So what 5G is really trying to do is it's trying to bring vastly unlimited connection speeds, but they're sacrificing convenience by needing to put equipment in all these different nooks and crannies to take advantage of it.
Really?
So do they then switch off?
Between the two?
If one floor stops working using that same skyscraper, one floor stops for some reason, it's got a malfunction, does everybody then feed off the other ones?
Well, in an ideal situation, yes. But if you are in, going back to the skyscraper again, if you're in a circumstance where they've decided every floor or every other floor needs to have an antenna on it and one goes out, there's a good chance, because we know how capitalism works, there isn't a redundant system there. The redundant system is still the antenna on the horizon.
From 5G to 4G.
And you drop from 5G to 4G. That's right. Okay. Because that's much more abundant than those antennas that have been put at the corners of your building.
What does the G stand for?
There's a lot of good things.
Generation.
There's a lot of good things about 4G as far as distance is concerned, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a major infrastructure upgrade to bring 5G to the market. Besides having the equipment ready, it needs to be distributed in more abundance than 4G equipment. When we went from what would be called, I don't think they ever called it 2G, but I think we called it 2G after we had 3G. And to go from 2G to 3G to 4G, they didn't have to put up new antennas to cover the current customers. I mean, they did have to put up new antennas, but it's because as we went up in speeds, we brought out more equipment, they had more customers, so they had to have more coverage area, so they had to put more antennas up. But if you were to isolate that like an experiment, you say, I have these 500 people under this antenna doing 2G, now I want to upgrade them to 3G, all they had to do is put another device on that same antenna. They wanted to upgrade it to 4G, they just had to put another device on that same antenna. But to upgrade that group to 5G, then they had to distribute more antennas in that local area. Oh, por favor. Does that make sense?
Yes. So 2G, you could have further distance. 3G, slightly less. 4G,
slightly less, but almost...
Stronger.
Almost not... it's a negligible difference. I mean, like, you're right. When 4G hit, many people that should have been able to get 4G couldn't. They get 3G. I mean, I had this experience out in the Ranchitos for a number of years where you could get 3G and 4G was off on the exact same antenna. But it was far enough away that I couldn't take advantage of it. It wouldn't come in the house. 3G would come into the house.
Yeah. So satellite has nothing to do with this, right?
No. The best way to think about satellite, because when you say satellite, what we should be always assuming is you're talking about beaming up to space.
Right.
And there's no need to beam up to space unless that's part of their primary infrastructure. So they could be transceiving data from space. Like, you could have an antenna out there that's broadcasting 4G, 3G, and at the base of that infrastructure of that antenna, there is a satellite pointing up to space, and that's how they're getting their main feed. And then they're broadcasting it across the land as Wi-Fi. Well, as cell. As 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. Well, they could be, but it's not dependent on it.
Oh.
Yeah, like, just like you could be using mega cable in your house, or you could be using Telmex. Or you could be using Telcel, or you could be using X-Pro, or you could be using TCS. But in the end, you're always using internet. And that's what I'm saying about this it's not dependent on satellite. They may have chosen to use satellite in that area because that's the best infrastructure they could come up with in that area. But in the end, it comes to you as 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. If that makes sense, if that's clear.
There are communities that are now total Wi-Fi accepted. In other words, they have set themselves up. Are they using 5G or 4G?
Not necessarily. There's nothing about that that forces them to choose a particular technology. So if you have an entire community wired, wired to wireless, that doesn't indicate what kind of technology they're using. I mean, they could have just access points all over town that are free for people to use, and it would all be based on original Wi-Fi technology.
So what do we have in this area?
I actually just went down the list of internet providers in this area.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what we have.
What is it with the difference?
Do we have a wireless community here?
No.
Well, we don't have a community-sponsored wireless area.
They aren't community-sponsored.
Well, I thought that's what you were describing, was a community.
Well, Los New Mexico downtown has community Wi-Fi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wymas tried for a long time downtown to have community Wi-Fi available in the plaza area all in front. I don't know if they still do, but it was a big deal. I remember... One of the reasons is because it cut into the cyber cafe's earnings. Because you didn't have to go into a cyber cafe anymore. You could just sit in the plaza and use the Wi-Fi.
And what's that H telling me?
But like, if you
high speed is what I would guess.
Into
I would guess that's what VH
like
means.
Here, mm-hmm.
What's
yes,
the little
you're on
arrow?
Your Wi-Fi
right.
network.
I don't think that's an arrow.
Like mine remembers that I'm here.
It almost looks to me like it's some kind of warning.
I'm at wherever.
It's going to blow up.
Do you have
Wi-Fi? Like,
can you logged in?
Yeah.
Is there anything there? No, it doesn't say anything.
Available.
I don't know what to tell you about that. Hey, that would be a Windows phone thing. I wish Richard would come with us today because he might know exactly what that is.
I'll ask him next time.
Yeah, he's a Windows phone user.
There's all kinds of little symbols in these things that I have no clue. I have a mirror in my car that's got three little houses on buttons.
Yeah, for your garage door.
No idea what the hell they do. I don't know. I have garage door openers, but it's not on my...
Yeah, you can program that to your garage door.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet. In fact, one of the things...
iHome or something. Yeah.
One of the things that's neat, like my folks got a place in Mesa recently that's right around the corner from one of their friends who is a handyman. So he's always over there doing work for him. But they're not there all the time. So he programmed their garage door opener in his car. That's right. So it pulls up and presses the button in his car to open their garage.
I looked through the manuals and I just could not find a damn thing about why those three little houses are there. Yeah, that must be for three locations.
Yeah.
Or
program different locations.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, it's for three different garage door openers, wherever they may be located.
Right. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you have Sirius Radio down here?
Uh-huh.
Does it go everywhere. Off and on and off and on and off and on? Mine all the way from about the New Mexico line all the way here. I would have to call them and they'd send a signal.
What does that mean? I've never heard of having to do that with Sirius Radio.
Weird? So I called this guy and I said, well, I'm in Mexico. He goes, well, we don't support out of the country.
Right.
I said, well, this happened when I was in New Mexico and Arizona. So, and I said, the last woman I talked to said she would issue credit for me because I had 3 days where it was intermittent. 31 cents. And I said to him, that's really an insult.
That was for one station out of 500.
So that's like the GPS in my car doesn't recognize any roads in Mexico.
Well, mine does now. My
did you have to buy software for it?
I did not. It came with it.
What is this, your satellite radio?
Yes, my satellite radio.
Built into your car?
Yes.
Is it still flaking out?
Yes.
You know, I don't know a lot in that area, but offhand, I would think that's an antenna problem.
Huh. So he tells me to switch it off of Sirius, turn it on to AM or FM, turn off the car, turn it back on, and then switch it back to Sirius.
No, this is like a computer problem.
It is.
They can't get the car to start, so roll down the windows, open the doors,
reboot the car.
Do you have some sage with you?
Yeah, it was pretty annoying.
Yeah, your antenna could be bad.
Yeah, it does feel like an antenna problem.
I have Sirius in my car too, but I've never accessed it.
Was it working before?
In Colorado, perfect.
Take it back to the dealer when you go back up.
Yeah. Yeah, because it could be that in Colorado there's an abundance of signal to the extent that a broken antenna doesn't make that big of a difference. But down here on the horizon, you could be experiencing problems. And people don't. People use Sirius Radio down here all the time.
And last year it was fine.
Is that similar with the...
Same car?
Not brand new then.
Well, it's an 18. It's got 7,000 miles.
With the GPS, when I hit the
border. But you just drive up to Mexico and park it, huh?
I think that's an even better indicator that
it's
an antenna problem because it used to work and now it doesn't.
Yeah.
Something is broken.
Okay.
So what topics do you have?
Oh, hey, let's see what I brought.
I got a topic. I got to go.
Oh, you got to go, Gary. It was just going to get good. I was going to bring out Bitcoin.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
Goodbye.
All right. It's not your typical Bitcoin topic, but I thought you guys would appreciate knowing that the IRS just broke a huge child pornography ring because of Bitcoin. Yes, because on the dark web, using the Tor browsers, there is this website. It is proclaimed to be the biggest child pornography website that's known to exist. And they, because they had decided to do their transactions in Bitcoin, and because of the unmutable, or what do they call it? Well, because of, no, the uneditable, I can't remember the word for it now, the you cannot modify the Bitcoin ledger. The ledger is true. Every transaction is always there. Because of that foundation, and the IRS being experts at tracking transactions, they were able to track down every pornographer.
Wow.
They have.
So that branched out from the location to all of the people who were accessing the location?
That's right. Wow. Because the ledger is unalterable, because every transaction is always in the Bitcoin ledger, all it needed was processing time. That's all it needed.
I wonder if they knew that when they got into Bitcoin.
Well, they know. The reason they're in Bitcoin is the anonymous nature of
right.
it.
Right. So it's not.
But it. It's but not. But then this is a point I've been making for the longest time.
Right. They thought
is that it's not anonymous. What it's lacking is oversight, because all you and the IRS has just made it very clear they are the oversight. They are the experts at tracking down transactions.
All right.
And they have a whole group dedicated to Bitcoin now.
Well, good.
Yeah. I think this is awesome.
Glad I was tempted to do Bitcoin last week. I'm not going to.
Well, don't do it for child porn, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do it for child porn.
Nobody's going to waste a lot of time tracking your transactions if that's how you're paying for your illicit TV. Yeah, but if you've gotten your... Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'll stop by afterwards.
That's good to know. That's good.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring that up in clubs. So often we've had discussions where, oh, it shouldn't be anonymous, and I feel like I've said all along it's not anonymous.
Right.
It's just painful. But all the information is there, and all you need is some detective work and a lot of time processing those transactions, and you can figure out where each one of them has gone. And so to me, I look at this as a real win, because not only does it solidify that we can have a decentralized currency system, but we can also have the authority.
Checks and balances.
Yeah.
With it.
That's right. We can have an authority that's out there making sure that it's not being used for illicit ends.
But, you know, like, I don't know whether they use Bitcoin now in Colorado or any place where pot is legal, but it is a totally cash society, which is being set up for them to get caught and prosecuted by the IRS, I think. Because it's a totally cash. No, it's not good. Marijuana is legal recreational drug in Colorado. They should also have access to the bank just to keep them from running afoul of the law. I mean, you walk in there, a friend of mine's daughter works there, she gets paid every week in cash.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good system.
Yeah, I believe they're having the same problem in Alaska,
yes,
too.
Everywhere, because yeah. they, you
because
cannot
the banks
use
won't.
They're federally.
Sure, that's yeah. right. Yeah, and
well,
so it becomes a federal issue.
Yeah.
I agree with you, yeah.
yeah. I mean, they're just setting these companies up to do something illegal.
Yes. Yeah.
But there is legislation.
You can use your credit card at
really?
The dispensaries.
At the dispensaries,
you cannot use a credit card at the dispensaries.
They have an ATM machine there.
Oh, yeah, they have an ATM.
Right.
But it's not. You aren't.
It's
using
not associated with the.
The closest you can get to using a credit card or an ATM. Not that I'm an expert in this, but there are dispensaries that have been set up to act as an ATM. In the midst of the transaction.
In Oregon, we use the credit card to pay for it.
Really?
Right.
In a dispensary, though. A dispensary is different than recreational marijuana. A dispensary...
Well, it was recreational.
Oh, it was?
And you get a... Veterans get a 15% or 30% discount.
All right.
I can't remember what the what it was.
That's awesome. They don't have great health care, but they get a discount at the dispensary.
Watch out
on
the VA.
That is crazy. Okay, so what else do you have?
I'm going to put that IRS, a link to that IRS story on the website in case you want to read more about it. I found it just really, well, I didn't see anything bad in it at all. I love the idea that I've never had a good thing to say about the IRS. I have something nice to say about the IRS.
Right. That's good.
Yes. And they had a Bitcoin machine in Walmart where you could go in and buy Bitcoin.
Really?
Where? Like a standalone little kiosk.
I've seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool. That's very cool. You know that we found out last season that you can go and buy Bitcoins from Oaksa.
Go buy one and just put it in the safe just to have one. You never spend it.
That's an idea.
Are they physical coins?
I don't have a clue.
No.
Well,
no, there aren't any physical tokens.
It's a receipt.
Oh. No, I mean you can.
It's a piece of paper with a number.
It's not even that. It's I mean, like they might give you a record of the Bitcoin wallet that they put it in, but it's your wallet. Yeah.
Oh, so you'd have to go online to.
Yeah, the only way. Yeah, you'd have to have a wallet on your phone or on your. You'd have to have a number to give them that you're putting money into through Oaksa.
And that's how the new Apple credit card is. It has absolutely no fees. And it's on your phone, in your wallet, and you can actually order a card. And the card is made out of titanium. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And it has no numbers on it. Nothing.
Did you see Did you see that the card has been warned against putting against leather or jean material because it will damage the card?
No.
Yes.
Huh.
It'll scrape it up and lose its power.
Well, let me add this. I have a banker friend who owns a couple of banks. And he says, cash is trash. Gold is worthless. Okay? Bitcoin is the same. And so I don't know if there's anything that really is solid. Other than a credit card. A regular credit card with numbers on it. And you better keep yourself.
I love it, no numbers. But I did not read that. They did not give me a thing that says, don't put it in your jeans pocket.
Well,
don't put it in your leather wallet.
Nobody knew that till later.
Google.
They distributed it to all these people that were first adopters, and then they started getting these complaints because the cards were having problems. They were getting discolored.
I've not used mine. It was kind of like, really, okay, well, I've got it, but I don't. And it took, I'm not exaggerating, 5 seconds to be approved.
Yeah, oh, that's impressive.
Yours is in your jean purse.
Actually, no, it isn't.
Oh, okay.
It's in this little thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they recommend a card sleeve. That was Apple's solution.
They should have provided
that.
The
credit card.
Right. Well, they didn't know they needed to provide. This is all the fallacies of Apple recently.
I should tell them.
They should have known that.
They should have known that
when they were testing the card, because they're designers, they're fashion people.
That's right.
They should have already known.
They send it out.
But they're starting.
But then they should send everybody that has a credit card.
A nice little designer sleeve.
Yeah.
Yep.
With the Apple symbol on it.
I'm going to have to tell them.
I totally agree.
Why not?
Do you have one of the Apple cards?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Do you have it with you?
Do you use it?
Oh, okay.
Do you use it?
No, I've never used it. I've got it on my phone.
Well, just looking at the app's really interesting because what it does is it color codes and beautifies your bill. So, like, you know how often you look at a bank statement and you can't figure out what those charges were in the Apple credit card. They work very hard to put logos of the businesses and put details of the transaction. Because they're excelling this credit card experience. And they want their customers to find it as easy to use as an iPhone. And so they've worked really hard to make that bill very easy for you to read. So there's no question about what you're spending
the
money
on. It's always due on the last day or the first day of the month or the last day.
Oh, so you don't have like a 19th,
no,
right?
No, that makes it easy.
The 29th of February?
No.
There is something to be said for that because I just signed up for a travel credit card, which gives me points for travel, and all I get is the name of the business, and that's it. But with my Schwab, I've got telephone numbers for every transaction, so I can call them and I can follow through.
But you haven't done any transactions yet, so we can't really see.
Okay, zero.
Well, yeah. I haven't done anything on it. Yeah. Better be.
A little picture of a card.
And yeah. You just got it, right? You just got it?
Well, it came with your new phone.
It's got the MasterCard emblem on it, looks like.
It is a MasterCard.
Okay.
But see, there's no numbers, there's no names, nothing, nada. It's very interesting.
When will you use it?
Maybe never. But it's good everywhere. There are no fees. There's no foreign transaction fee, nothing.
But it doesn't have a number. So, or does your account, if you wanted if to I pay, wanna go, Telmex?
Yes, if I go in there and push the little I, it'll tell me the number and the security code.
Okay, so you can. Right.
So it's there.
Okay, but I have a Schwab card, and there's no transaction fees worldwide.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
I have a Sam's MasterCard. There's no fees either. But
yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Same
as Capital One. I've got Capital One. And also Wyndham's. There's no rewards. There's no fees on either one of them.
Right.
Unless you don't pay it off. If you don't pay it off, then
they hit you hard.
I don't carry a balance.
Yeah, I understand.
I was 3 days late on my Costco card and got a $25 late charge.
But they reversed that, right?
Well, I'm
only
here,
if
there,
you call
there.
Up and cry.
Well, just call them.
I'll call them.
Say, I'm really
sorry. Yeah, that way I give you your points back, too. If it's a point card, you miss your Wyndham's. You lose all your points.
Something just happened. It killed everything.
Oh, man.
But I'm back again. I noticed it with the camera. I thought it was the camera. But
if I think about it, I'll bring my card.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It's really cool. It's thick, though. It's really thick because it's titanium.
Right. Okay, I know the wind thing.
Okay.
And it came in this fancy little...
A lot of points, but you
box,
get points for using the card.
Like
they're in the packaging.
The packaging was lovely.
I don't care about any of that
stuff.
It's
all in the presentation.
Yeah, a sleeve would be much more important than some box that opens up beautifully.
You had to have this box to activate your card.
For free
Oh, yeah. You couldn't throw that box away and activate your card.
That's better than
the demo.
All right, who's ready for another topic?
United card and all that, right?
I don't know whether it is or not. The one I chose. You have to make up your own mind.
I know. Okay.
Are you guys ready for another topic?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Amazon is getting caught shipping expired food.
That's true.
Oh, no!
Amazon's being caught for what?
Shipping expired food. There's an article right now.
Better check my grape leaves.
Petco shipped old dog food.
Oh, did they?
Yes. And they went, when I took it back to the store, they went, oh, we're so sorry.
Oh, it's a warehouse problem.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, apparently this is a real issue. They, the people that were investigating this found that out of the, out of the 100 best-selling food products, this is CNBC that did this. Out of the 100 best-selling food products on Amazon, they found at least 40% of sellers had more than 5 customers complaining about expired dates.
Right. I know some of the dates were kind of short on some of them before.
Well, what they have is they have a policy that it has to at least have a 90-day shelf date, whatever the expired. So if they're buying like liquidation, they're not supposed to be able to put it online unless the expiration date is farther out than 3 months. But apparently that's not the case, and Amazon doesn't have a good system for dealing with this.
Rotation clerk.
They can't.
Yeah, well.
When they scan it in, it doesn't scan in the expiration date, too?
Usually the cases don't.
If you scan case, I used to work at Safeway. The cases
don't.
They'll have a label on it that says the date, but when you scan it, it doesn't come up and tell you this
with the date. Right.
10 days left. Or
the date is literally stamped on the product. It has nothing to do with the scan.
However, at Costco and Sam's, it's on their big boxes.
You know, that's.
Yeah, but it doesn't scan.
That would be an easy fix.
You know, you're right. It seems like if Amazon's going to have that product in their warehouse, it should have its product code plus expiration date.
They'll have to make their own product code and stick them on.
Huh. But you can bet they're already doing stuff like that right now just to keep track of where their boxes are going. They're doing stuff like that. I think it's probably one more example of how this is not the focus of this marketplace. This is not what they didn't expect to be policing this kind of stuff.
No,
and so they haven't been built to do this.
And we're going to sell it and they're going to buy it.
Mm-hmm. It's right. Like all the recalls, though, on different products. That, okay, so there's plastic in everything. There's, oh, well, we made a mistake.
Yeah,
and
lead paint. So,
yeah.
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 You lived through it. So did I.
You chewed on the bed, you can tell.
You know what? It hasn't been proven yet whether I've lived through it. I've lived till now.
So far, up to 50 cents.
There's no way out of that one.
That's it. Who knows how many more years I would have had if I hadn't consumed all that lead paint as a kid.
Did I tell you that my transmission went out?
No.
No.
Yeah, my transmission on the GMC went out, and I found out that it was a recall, but it was 2 months after the recall. And so I found out that the car was made in Canada, and the transmission was made in Korea, and I couldn't determine when the transmission was made in Korea. And I wrote a letter to GM, and they rejected it, so I filed suit. And
I didn't think there was a time limit on recalls.
I didn't either.
What?
I didn't think there was a time limit on recalls.
No, they said from 2005 through 2009, the transmissions were bad. That's what they said. Okay, and my car was a 2010. Okay, so. But I had to find out that the transmission was made previously or before that. And so I filed suit and sat around until 2 days before court. And the guy, the attorney from Dallas called me with GM and he said, we want to sell it. And I said, for everything? And he said, yes. He said, you send me every bill you got, $7,000. And so they paid it.
Great.
Yeah.
That's worth, great.
That's
but
great.
But a lot of anxiety.
I'm very curious. Did you evaluate your anxiety? And
no, I didn't.
And how much did it cost you to get your $7,000 back?
It cost me zero. No, because
they covered lawyer costs.
Everything, every nickel,
rental car,
rental, rental, yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, but it was a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. But I hung in there.
That's great.
It's like a recall. You know, it's like the deals on food cans, you know. It's the same kind of deal.
So they couldn't determine, though, when your transmission was built.
From the age of your car.
Right.
No. When I told them it was a 2010 and it was built, the car was built in Canada in October or November of 2009, yes.
So then, it was an early.
Then they
early
knew.
Yeah.
They knew that the transmission had been sitting on a shelf for 2 or 3 years previously before they even put in the car.
Wow.
They knew that. I didn't know that.
So that thing is the Datsun is to 70, but it was built in September 69.
That's my age.
Is its manufacture date? So it's 50 years old last month.
All right. We are back online. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe power went out on the access point or something. But we're back online. I have one last topic you guys might find interesting. The Air Force's missile launch control systems have just retired the 8-inch floppy disks.
Oh, really?
Yep. About time, some would say. Actually, a lot of people say that it's one of the most secure systems simply because it isn't state-of-the-art technology.
And nobody can...
Nobody has a floppy drive that will take it.
Are you right? Well, not only that, nobody knows how to write a virus for that equipment. The equipment isn't connected to any overreaching network that can easily be accessed. There's no USB ports to stick...
Not even a IBM or it's that other computer, isn't it?
Actually, I'm thinking, if I remember right...
What was that other...
Let me look at this real quick. I'm just scanning through this. It seems like they mentioned... I thought they mentioned Tandy machines. No, IBM Series 1 computers.
Oh, it is an IBM. All right. So it is DOS.
IBM Series 1 computers installed by the Air Force.
So it is DOS.
No, back in the 1960s and 70s. So it's not DOS. It wouldn't be a disk-based operating system. It would be like a tape-based operating system. And maybe if it was in the 60s, maybe even a paper tape-based operating system. Wow. But
that really is kind of scary.
What they've been doing for years is they have electrical engineers in the Air Force. They've been fixing these motherboards when they go bad because there is no supplier for this equipment. When they need to modify equipment like Y2K problems, they're using their internal programmers to rewrite this software that they're using. There isn't a canned solution anywhere, so they've just been maintaining. Kind of like your Datsun.
Yeah.
So now what they've upgraded the system to solid-state drives and newer software.
And instead of two huge rooms, it takes up a little table?
Yeah, they carried around on their watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll leave a link to that as well if you're interested in the details. I just thought that was really interesting. I remember the 8-inch floppies from my first year in high school. The computer that the secretary was using an old computer that still used 8-inch floppy disks.
So the topic of this last thing was what?
The Air Force has upgraded their missile control systems and no longer use 8-inch floppy disks.
8-inch or
5.25? No, 8-inch. Old fat ones, yeah.
Interestingly, I remember a boy, and I get two boys, and we went out to the secure air base where they have a... what's the 747 that carries the space shuttle? They have one of those in Tucson, and they have one in California. And we went out to check out the helicopters. And I'll tell you, those Hawks, the Seahawks are for everyone is called a Hawk. And those things have 5,000 gadgets inside. And they carry 10 men for with machine guns, all strapped in, and they have two submachine guns on each side, just behind the pilot. But the pilots have a that thick Kevlar sliding window that they pull forward in case they're being shot at, and it was amazing to see how intricate those things are. And just loaded with electronics, just loaded.
So after having that experience, what's your opinion on the 737 MAX?
Well, the 737 MAX, that was the next question I was going to ask. Yeah. What is really going on there? It's all electronics, right?
It's software.
Software, okay.
Yeah, in fact, what they did is they decided they could create a more economical plane. And economical being a broad topic of research and development they didn't have to do, right? The saving on the maintenance costs and the running costs of the planes. They needed a more economical plane to offer in the market. And so what they did is they took their old plane and put bigger motors on it. And then they rewrote their software so that when the bigger motors caused the nose to go up faster than a pilot would expect from their model, the software would push it down. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't tell the pilots that's the way it worked. and they didn't insist on a whole lot of retraining. That was the other place they were saving money, is pilots didn't have to be retrained because it's the old model, it just has bigger motors. So they didn't share this with the pilots. It wasn't part of their retraining that this is the way the system would work automatically. And so these crashes that happened were when this, it was pushing down the nose in incorrect circumstances, and the pilots didn't understand what that meant. Yeah, and so they were freaking out there. And so a couple of these crashes were definitely caused because the pilots didn't know how to deal with that situation.
That was the other thing that they said with the air guard. The 18-year-olds and the 19-year-olds were far better pilots than the 30-year-olds, because the 18 and 19-year-olds, they've been dealing with computers.
Right?
Yes, and really, that's exactly...
I believe you. That makes complete sense.
And they all carry missiles on these helicopters. You know, just it's amazing what they have.
Yeah, well, and we're just moments away from them not needing a pilot in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing. Out of Portland, they carry all of the drones. And the drones are the size of an airplane.
Yeah.
Real long wingspan. And then they pass them off to the base in Sierra Vista. Sierra Vista is they just pass them off. And there's a guy sitting in a box operating the drone. So there's nobody in the drone. And he's sitting in Tucson, and he passes it off electronically to Sierra Vista, the base there. And they are using it along the border, and he's flying the border with these drones. And they stay up because of their wingspan and because of the power. They stay up for 24 hours, 24 to 27 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's impressive.
It's amazing.
It's a different world we're living in now.
It is.
At what elevation do they fly?
I have no idea. But they do have the... I was told that they now are using King Air. Do you know the King Air?
Mm.
That's a 10-passenger, two-prop...
Okay.
Luxury, multi-million dollar, like Bobby Unser, who lives here, or used to,
right.
He had one.
Had a kid.
And got stolen out here by the drug people. And he had one of those things. Well, now they're using the King Air to fly at 22,000 feet. They can go up there because they're turboprop, and they are just loaded with electronics.
Uh-huh.
And they can, at 22,000 feet, they can read.
The field of vision would be incredible.
What they can read deal on your car windshield that gives the
your VIN number.
You can read the VIN number of a car.
Yeah, the VIN number.
Wow,
they can read that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well. We're definitely living in a surveillance state these days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From all different directions.
Okay, well, so what else?
Oh, what's my last? I've got one more here.
One more.
No, I don't have one more. I got it all. That was all the topics I brought.
Yeah, that's
you did a good job.
Well, thank you.
Once again.
Very interesting.
What'd you say there, Jim?
What's my line?
What's your line?
They were asking you about the next topic. Just a joke.
Okay, all right. Gotcha. Sorry, I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Okay, I'm off anyway.
If it's not computers, I don't know what we're talking about. But thank you guys for showing up.
Right.
Well, you're very welcome.
Hey, next week we'll have two more.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you
right.
For coming.
And I'll be gone for a few weeks.
Oh.
You will.
Yeah.
Where are you
really?
Going?
What are you up to?
Back to Colorado.
Oh,
back to
really?
Colorado.
Got
to go say hi to Mama.
It's cold.
I know.
It's 23 at my house.
I know.
Hey, was either of you there during that crazy temperature change that you went through?
I left
a week
Wednesday,
or so ago. No,
and
I wasn't.
It happened Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah.
And my wife was complaining about it.
Oh man,
said, well,
climate change is really a big topic.
That right there, didn't it remind you of the Day After Tomorrow movie where like just all of a sudden you're hit with a polar void vortex and. Hey, day and night, just
from 80 to 30
to needing a parka, right?
And the wind was crazy.
Well, Tucson, when we left, was like 78, and we got down here, and I'm saying it was 99.
Yeah.
And then it turned to 88 when we got here.
Pikes Peak.
Oh, wow.
There you go, yeah.
Termination dust.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Pikes Peak.
Oh, yeah. Been to the top.
I've been to Snow. The top. I live at the foot. That was Sunday.
Wow.
So they got snow in Colorado for skiing.
Oh, yeah.
Keystone Open.
Really?
Is this early for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
because
early
it was so cold, they were able to make snow.
Wow. Yeah.
Have you been up on the Chunk Cluck Trail?
The Chunk?
Whatever it is, goes from the bottom of Pikes Peak to the top. You've been on the train there?
I'm going
to
discreetly say my goodbyes. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club, and I'm Scott Stimson again coming from San Carlos, Mexico, and International Computer Solutions. If you have any computer issues anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. I'm available through internationalcs.net. You can email me at scott@internationalcs.net. If you're here locally, you can stop by our office or give us a call at 226-0209. If you enjoyed our computer club, well, I record them for posterity. You can find us as a podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Just look for the San Carlos Computer Club. If you're in San Carlos and you're looking for a great place to have some food, nice place to hang out, Tequila's is where we meet every week. And they got Wi-Fi, they got fiber optics. It's one of the fastest places
good
in town.
Good Chili's Rianos.
Good Chili's Rianos. Thank you. Dan's recommending food. It's a great place to come. They tolerate us. They give us a great place to have our meeting. If you're in San Carlos, you ought to check them out. This is it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
We'll
until
you,
then, tech on.
All right.
Check on. You got, what, 2 weeks, huh?
2-3 weeks, huh? I have no schedule. I do have a schedule because I got a flight.
Yeah, we're all retarded.
Right. I know that I'm getting on a plane in a week.
There you go.
After that, I don't know.
So when are you coming back?
I don't know. I have a schedule. But I'll be back.